This episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club is brought to you by our wonderful members on Patreon. Your support really means a lot to us, and we wouldn't be able to make this community what it is without you. So a special thank you shout out to Pat the Trophy Hunter, KingK6969, Against Me, Jordan Vickers, Gary Cooper, Diego Juan, First Mage, Super Hans, Ben Kahn, CJ, Ryan Wolven, Chaz Bilby, and Rob Stevens. If you're interested in supporting any of the shows in the Trophy Talk Network, those being the Trophy Talk Podcast, the PlayStation Plus Game Club, the MoogleCast, and Surviving the Horror, go to patreon.com/Trophy Talk Network. And for now, enjoy the show. What's up, internet friends, and welcome to another episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I'm your host, Kevin Garaventa, aka the Portland Kevin. And like a book club, we pick one game from the PlayStation Plus extra library and talk about it way too much. Kicking off the new year, we are talking about Somerville. It was developed and published by the indie studio Jumpship and first released on Xbox consoles in November of 2022, and then on PlayStation in August of 2023. Much like the studio's creator's previous games, you play as a lone character in an otherworldly scenario, and this time, it's in the midst of an alien invasion. The entire story is told without spoken or written dialogue, and instead, this story is told through the environment presented to the player and the actions our protagonist takes. This leaves a lot for the viewer to interpret for themselves, so we are going to try and dissect this as well as we can, so please bear with us. And to help me do that is the regular Plat shout-out owner, Fate Prime, a.k.a. Brady. Welcome to the Game Club for the first time.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me. The show single-handedly justifies my PlayStation Premium subscription, so really excited to be here.
Well, I hope you're getting more out of it than just the games that we play.
It's the Game Club games are at least 90%. So,
yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad that you get to follow along with us every month. So that's a big thing that you're doing. And I was shocked how last month you earned the platinum trophy in Blueprints. And when you sent me that, I thought I got to have him on. Like, he needs to be on the show. And then I think the next week you were on the MoogleCast and just went through your whole experience of playing through Blueprints. So that was amazing. If anyone listening, you're curious about that, go listen to the December episode of the MoogleCast and find out what Fate thought of that. So Brady, that was a hell of an episode. I can't believe you got everything done in Blueprints. That's amazing.
Yeah, thanks. And I'll say this. Right. It's really, Jordan was saying it was like a 10 out of 10, you know, 7 out of 5, whatever. I have a feeling I am not the only person that will get that trophy list done this year. I've been snooping on a couple other people. I'll just say that. And some of you out there are getting really close to being done with the game. So. Highly recommend that everyone gives it a try.
Yeah, I was, for myself, I was enjoying it. I've still been playing it. It's still on my hard drive, but in the past couple of weeks, I have not gotten back to it because I am in the middle of Expedition 33 and also in the middle of Still Wakes the Deep because I wanted to try that one out since it came to PlayStation Plus. And then also been playing some Somerville. kick things off with just a few plat shoutouts that we have from the Discord. So this one came in last minute. It is like something that I just I saw about maybe half hour ago. So congrats to R. Wolven for getting 100% of the trophies in the game. Thank you again for playing along with us. He said, fun game. Looking forward to hearing some story explanation from your panel. So really quick one to just throw in there. Thanks, R. Wolven, for playing. I'm very interested to hear from you about the story and you know, what you think of it. So we'll do that. And then the other one that I have is from Faux Rambo. And this is a bit of a longer one. This is something that he wrote in. He linked back to his 100% trophy list back in, I think it was July when he first played this. He said, I somehow hadn't even heard of this game from Playdead alumni that worked on Limbo and Inside until it dropped onto PlayStation Plus Extra. I guess because it came out on Xbox to little fanfare about a year before. I had a nice time enough with it. It's similar to Inside, moving through detailed environments, doing some light puzzles, and getting a story told environmentally, entirely without words. Graphically, it does look really nice, with great art direction and some beautiful effects. The story and general atmosphere are more like a mid-budget sci-fi movie compared with the impressionistic style of Inside. Unfortunately, I have to agree with the general consensus, it's just not as good as the games that preceded it. The story and atmosphere are cool, but not mind-blowing, and the puzzles or challenges are a little jankier than I'd like. I would also recommend Cocoon, the other heir to the Playdead legacy, and it's much more highly regarded. Trophy-wise, there is no plat, and they are super easy. Half the trophies are for different endings, which can all be done from the last checkpoint. Faux Rambo came in with a long one, but any thoughts about what they wrote in regarding the game, the story, the trophies, whatever, like anything, like that is pretty much a whole review for the game there.
Yeah, it's pretty comprehensive. And I think I agree with most of what Faux Rambo said about specifically how this game compares to Inside and Limbo. I played all three games back to back to back, and
oh wow, yeah.
I just wanted to see how they compared, and it's been ages since I played Limbo, and then I had Inside on the Switch just ready to go, so I decided to just jump in. And the soul of Playdead, I'll say, is very clearly there in all three games. But I think yeah. Somerville, it suffers from comparison. I think
yeah,
if
I'd have to agree. No, yeah.
Yeah. If no one knew that it was kind of descended from the same minds behind Limbo and Inside, and Somerville was just its own thing, I think it would have rated a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still good. I had a good time with this game, but you know, knowing the history, it does have like a different impact on the game itself. So I think it'd be good to cover a little bit of the history of the game. But again, like both to R. Wolven and Faux Rambo, thank you very much for playing with us. Like, great job for getting this game in during the busy holiday season. But yeah, the history of this game, this came from Jump Chip Studios. And Dino Prouty is the co-founder of Jumpship. He had previously co-founded Playdead, which are famous for making Limbo and Inside. And I loved both of those games. They are very sort of artistic and contemplative, where there's no written or spoken dialogue in either of the games. They just have you playing as a character, moving from left to right most of the time, trying to figure out how to get past some kind of obstacle in sort of a puzzle kind of fashion. And there's a lot of environmental storytelling being done where like you're running through spaces and inside it's like some government, like secret government laboratory in Limbo. It's like you're walking through some damp forest and then there's like a giant spider that's chasing you. There's a lot going on in these games, but it's almost always something that is being shown to you that is happening. And that's where like the spirit of those games comes into play here. You know, what was it that you found so good about both Limbo and Inside?
So for both of those games, I think the ending and what's going on and kind of the meaning behind it is so up to interpretation that it really draws you in.
Yeah.
Inside is, to me, a little better than Limbo. But without spoiling anything, it goes way off the rails. So I feel like they wanted to... I mean, it is a follow-up to Limbo. They're very similar in their, you know, main premise. And then Inside, to me, is kind of just a step up. It's like, let's make this a little bigger. Let's make the story a little more zany, I'll say, and see what we get.
Yeah, really add some mystery to it as well. We're like, with Limbo, there's not really any sort of like massive shift in like the character or the environment, but you are like trying to reach some kind of goal and you don't really know what that goal is until the very end when you do reach it. With Inside, there is something that happens in the final act of the game that is like, it made me think like, oh my God, like what am I playing? Like what just happened? Why am I still playing this game? And why did my game not end with my own character finishing their story? And how does this, you know, like, what does this really mean for who I am playing as right now? It is fascinating stuff. But I loved both of those games. This one, I feel like, doesn't really have that big of like a surprise that Inside had. It doesn't really have that kind of mystery that Limbo had. So I'm kind of looking for what else makes this game unique. And there are a few things here, but it doesn't have the same kind of impact that I feel like those two first games had. It still has the spirit of those games, but it doesn't quite hit the same. Yeah. But yeah, really, like this is still fantastic.
Sorry, I was just going to add just going back to kind of the spirit kind of being very present in all three of these games. And you can tell that they're related. Limbo and Inside reward the player greatly for kind of looking around in the nooks and crannies of the game and kind of paying attention to their surroundings. I really don't want to spoil anything. Like Limbo has kind of a secret level that you can get access to. Inside has a secret ending, which turns the story completely on its head. And then I feel like Somerville tried to do the same thing, and it didn't quite stick the landing, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Where like it's almost like they try and do both of those things and they meld those two together and they don't quite operate that well in what they designed for Somerville itself. But it's still very interesting to see. So like we keep talking about Limbo and Inside and Somerville, like they all kind of feel the same way. We should discuss like kind of the moment to moment gameplay of like what you're doing in Somerville. And you are walking usually from right, left to right or right to left. You're trying to find your way through one room to another room. And there are puzzles for you to solve. Like logic puzzles or just like platforming puzzles, like how do I get past this wall that is in front of me? And you're playing as a guy who has somehow lost his family during the events of an alien invasion. And now you're just trying to find your way somewhere and find them. So were there any overarching ideas or thoughts you had about the gameplay itself compared to Limbo and Inside?
So Limbo, I'll say this. Limbo is out to get you at every turn.
that's a great way to describe it. Yes.
I mean, when I was playing through it again, I started from scratch. And I think within the first 10 or 15 minutes of playing that game, you can fall into a bear trap, fall into spikes, drown, and you mentioned the spider attacks you. Inside is a similar thing. And in some way, I mean, the dogs that you run from that is a graphic failure screen. If you've never played the game, it is.
Yes.
That game isn't out to get you quite like Limbo is, but you still have to be careful. Somerville, in contrast, I think the first time that I died, I guess, or failed, was actually, there's a puzzle very early on in the game. And I guess we should actually take a step back before I get too far into it. You get different abilities throughout. So the first one you get, you can kind of dissolve certain materials if you're connected to a light source. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the first early puzzles in the game, is there is a ship that has crashed in the forest, and you need to dissolve a piece of it to pass through. And when I first attempted this, very simple puzzle, I dissolved from the middle. And there, I didn't realize that some of it was hanging over my head, and it fell and hit me in the head.
I did the same thing, and
I'm embarrassed that it happened more than once, but that's what we're talking about. It's very different. You can get hit in the head with a few different things. There are a few encounters with enemies that will kind of jump on you. But really, I think Somerville is trying to immerse you in this kind of story, in this quest to find your family. And the backdrop of the alien invasion is exactly that. You're not really encountering a lot of enemies in the game.
No, it really kind of takes the approach that Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds, like his version of War of the Worlds, took, where you're just following some guy trying to survive the events of an invasion. And he somehow just witnesses all of the fighting against the aliens rather than trying to participate in it. But that does change over the course of the game. And for most of it, I feel like you're just kind of the bystander to the fighting against the aliens. So like the gameplay, though, I feel like it, again, similar to how like Inside evolved the Limbo gameplay, Somerville kind of evolves that gameplay even further, where it's no longer just on a 2D plane. Sometimes you're moving in the 3D space and you have to like move forward or backward to find the solution or find a secret that is hidden in the world. So it is mostly moving from like one side of the area to the other, but sometimes you do find some depth, and that's where kind of the gameplay has evolved, or like the puzzle solving has changed and evolved. kind of touched on this where it comes to the art style. What were your like first thoughts about the art style here?
I think it's a really charming, it's much more similar to, we just keep comparing these games, but it's much more similar to Inside than Limbo. But I would say there's more color in the world than we see in Inside.
Yeah.
And the whole, like, you're trying to find your family, but the backdrop that you're going through is, you start in the forest, which is kind of dead. You go through that and find yourself in, it's like an abandoned music festival.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a music festival happening during the invasion, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. So you see like all of these tents and, you know, you're going through and abandoned cars are kind of scattered around. I was a big fan of the art style for sure. It's something almost that you would see out of a dark Pixar movie, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. This one, and this is especially the case of, like, as you mentioned, that music festival area. There's like the soundstage and stuff that you like puzzle through. But I feel like especially those first areas remind me very much of the game Out of This World or Another World. It has a different name depending on the country that you're in. But Another World was a game that felt very much like this, where you're just some guy that got caught up in an alien world and you're trying to escape it. And the art style, this is a game from the 90s, and it looks very different. It's pixelated, but sort of the fantastical color palette that game uses is very similar here, where there is just something about the way they've shaded everything. And it kind of looks like everything here is like made sort of out of construction paper, but it doesn't have like that rough look to it. It looks, you know, kind of like it is just very meticulously crafted here. And I love the art style here. So it looks fantastic. By the way, if you don't know what Another World is, go check it out. There was a remastered version that looks even closer to Somerville as far as the art style goes. So check that out. But this is, it's strange how like that game sort of like started to come back into my mind when I started playing this, because this also has that like adventure, like puzzle solving kind of style to it. So I'm not sure have you ever tried Another World?
I haven't actually.
Okay.
But
yeah.
The sounds of it, it does seem like a lot of similarities. On my side, I thought of, have you played the Far games?
Yeah, I've played played the first one, Far Lone Sales.
Okay. So I haven't played Lone Sales yet, but I did play Changing Tides. And it's a very similar aesthetic, I think, to this one.
Okay. Also, I wanted to mention, like, what did you think of the sound design? This game was nominated at the 26th Annual Dice Awards for audio design. And this was actually the one thing that I thought was, like, the best designed piece of this game.
Yeah, you find these orbs, kind of these like alien robot orbs scattered around the world, and you can interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they communicate with you through like different lights, but they also make sounds. So mm-hmm. you'll like rescue one from a certain situation and it will kind of ping at you. And later in the game, you can actually try to ping back and have some sort of conversation. So I did kind of enjoy that. You can see really early on in the game, you can climb up a hill and there's a bench and you can kind of sit there and look out and see the alien ships kind of scanning the landscape. And you can hear kind of the drone of the scan as it goes along.
Yeah.
Which is, it was a really impactful moment because up until that point, it's the camera is kind of zoomed in on you and just the landscape. And it's really hard to tell just the full scale of the devastation. And this is one of the early signs of that. But yeah, the kind of the droning noise of those scans, and there's like a chase sequence and stuff where you're running away from one of them, really stood out to me.
Yeah. The fact that there's like no music playing at all during that chase sequence where you're just trying to run and you just hear it's sort of like an energy beam that is lifting everything off the ground. And if you get caught by that, your character also just flies up into the air, and that's counts as a death in the game. But this like giant alien obelisk is firing out a giant purple beam that is picking up everything, and the sound that it makes is just so imposing. It is really cool.
You mentioned the music, so I wanted to kind of call out that it is like, it's very understated. You're not hearing a lot of the music as you go through the game until kind of late when you wake up in a refugee camp and you're waking up, you kind of navigate through that area, and there's a very soft kind of melancholy tune that kind of plays in the background as you're walking by all of these people and blankets and all of this. There's a memorial.
There's also the opening theme that plays during the opening credits, like a movie. And it's just an overhead view of a car driving through a highway or a road in a forest. And that opening theme, for some reason, is just, for me, it is haunting. I don't know why, but there is just this immense sense of dread, like something terrible is about to happen. And it, at the same time, it is beautiful to listen to. So I thought like the very minimal use of music in this game is kind of striking.
Yep, absolutely.
That's like all about the art style, but like the story here is like, it is pretty substantial. Like, even though there's not really any dialogue happening, there is a lot going on in this game. So it starts with this guy and driving his family home to their house. They go inside, they sit down and watch TV for a while. The guy and his wife, they fall asleep in front of the TV, and the toddler that you first play as, you have the toddler get up and walk around the house alone, and then have him walk into the kitchen and climb up on the counter using some drawers, and then have him open a window. And you think like, oh, this kid's going to go outside, but he doesn't. He ends up like falling into a trash can and crying, and then the parents wake up and realize what has happened. But when I started this game, I thought like, oh my God, is the kid going to disappear and you're going to have to go find him? Is this kid going to be abducted by aliens? And at the time also, my wife was watching me play, and she was on the couch just like like almost like holding her breath because she was just like, what is going on? Where are you going? I was like, I don't know, but this is what's happening. This is the only way to progress the game. So this is it. Thankfully, the kid doesn't leave. And so we aren't like in dire straits just yet. But, you know, you while you're doing this, you can see the alien battle start to happen out in the outside, just through the window. Do you have any like opening thoughts about like playing as this kid for just a few minutes?
So I don't have any kids of my own yet, but something about just watching your character's son, you're watching your character's kid kind of toddle around and just get into different things. And just like that whole sequence of, oh no, you know, your toddler has fallen into the trash can and now he needs a bath and like, you're going to feed the dog. And it was, there's an instant stake in the game for me of this little family. It's a normal Tuesday to them and they've fallen asleep on the couch just watching TV or whatever. And you mentioned War of the Worlds earlier. That whole sequence of just, oh, I'm going to go feed the dog while my wife, you know, bathes our kid and all of this. And now there are things falling from the sky and a whole battle going on in the sky ahead. It reminded me of the intro scenes in something like Cloverfield or, you know, War of the Worlds or like a Godzilla movie or something maybe, where it's just a totally normal day and then it hits the fan and everything's different.
Yeah. And you're less focused on the aliens themselves, but more on how do our characters that we've gotten to know in a few minutes survive? Like what do they do? So, you know, if you want that kind of story where you follow the army or the government, like fighting back against the alien invasion, and you watch like all of the human race fight back, go watch Independence Day. Like that's what that movie is for. But for a more personal account of how like a family survives the alien invasion, that's what this is. And, you know, that's like what Cloverfield is all about, really. So these examples that you pointed out are really good, really good ideas that I can see occurring here in Somerville, where you've got like, you know, just one guy going about his business and then an alien invasion happens. And really like he doesn't have anything to fight back with. Even when like the fighter ship crash lands on the house and he's able to like commandeer like the, or like absorb this guy's power to then like progress the game. Even then, like it is just about him. It's not about fighting aliens. It's just going from one place to the next. And you're never trying to combat like the enemies that are there. You're just trying to escape them. So we continue going and like, you know, the invasion happens and he and his wife try to escape at the car. And then like one of the pieces of an alien ship falls on the garage and crushes the car. And so they can't leave. They just take shelter in the basement. And then he gets knocked out by something and wakes up and it like hours have passed. It's now daytime. And like his wife and kid are gone. And he just like tries to get up and find his way out of the house. That's when he meets this soldier from a fallen craft and gains the power to melt the alien material that is around him. That's part of the puzzle solving that you see throughout the game. And then we continue on just like having him go, ironically, not from left to right in most games, but instead he is mostly going from right to left. So I think that's a big change that they probably consciously made when making this game, where like typically you in games, you move from left to right. For some reason, that's just like a design choice that is more intuitive, I guess. And is it, do you think like maybe that they chose to go mostly from right to left to, because like we are feeling like we're going through an alien world? Like that is just one thing I'm coming up with off the top of my head. but I find it fascinating.
Yeah, that's a really, it's obvious, like I was aware that we were moving right to left, but I didn't think of kind of what that means or could mean kind of in the broader scale. The game is, I would say it's like 2.5D. So you can kind of move further into the background for different things or come forward. But it is, it's kind of interesting, you know, how, like you said, right to left for most of it. And then I feel like towards the end of the game, there are more sequences where you would go kind of left to right. Like the world opens up a little more towards the end as far as the orientation that you're going.
So we've talked about the like the sequence of events where there's an alien invasion, you then try and survive things, there's you know, a giant sweeping beam from an alien ship as you try and sneak through the remnants of a music festival that was happening at the time, and then there's like a sort of like a cave area or a mine that you get invited into, that where like one of these super soldiers has like held up in. And so like he kind of helps you escape from one of the aliens that is pursuing you, and then helps you through this mine. At some point, something crashes on top of him as he's trying to save you. And it like doesn't kill him right away, but it incapacitates him. And then your character takes his hand, and that energy transfers from him to you. And now you gain the second power that allows you to, instead of melting the alien material, it solidifies it. And so you can make like, you know, walkways over this liquid that you previously weren't able to just do anything except wade through. That adds in some new story elements, in that we find out that there are like super soldiers that are fighting these aliens now, and we are just kind of an every guy or an everyday guy who is starting to gather their power. But that mine also had one of the more frustrating puzzles in it for me, where I was trying to figure out how to get this mine cart to like hold something open while I was trying to like get the like go through a door somewhere. So the puzzles in this game, I have to say that like are not always that intuitive, and I kind of wanted them to be a little bit more, not straightforward, but better engineered for people to understand. One of the problems was that like I would get to a crank that you had to turn and it would open a door, but I thought the door was stuck, and that's just because I wasn't turning the crank the right way, and I didn't know that you had to actually rotate the stick, like the thumbstick. I thought you just had to hold it in one direction to rotate the crank. So the design here leaves a little bit left to be desired as far as the controls and the puzzles go. But that was just in the mine. And so like, did you have any real, like really frustrating or difficult puzzles to get through?
Yeah. So the puzzles in this are like, once you're through the game and you like figure out the puzzle, every time I had that, I was like, oh, that was pretty simple. Like that took way longer than it should have. Right. But, and I sent you a clip of this. There's a section going back to the festival where you get to the, I guess it's like the main stage. Right. And just before you get there, you encounter this kind of camper van where there's a tree, some of the alien material, and this pole with a string of lights.
Oh, yeah.
And what you're supposed to do is use that melting ability, wrap the light around the tree, and then pull it to a point where the lights are close enough to a higher cluster of the alien. It's like a rock, I guess, the alien structure, to melt it so that you can get by. And for some reason, I had a really hard time getting the string of lights to go high enough to melt the material. And when I finally kind of figured out the solution, or at least what I thought was the solution, the string of lights actually clipped through the tree that I was wrapped around. So there was a lot of trial and error. It wasn't like there was a hole in the tree or anything. It was just a regular tree that I was wrapping this thing around.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just like snapped back completely through the tree. And I was just left here with a string of lights where, you know, that, they weren't doing anything anymore. So I had to, again, wrap around this tree and try to figure this out. But, so yeah, that was one that was kind of annoying. The other one was also in the mine. It's where you get to a part where there's just a vertical mine shaft and there's some alien material ahead of, like above you. And what you're supposed to do is melt it and then kind of use that liquid to swim up the shaft, if you remember this part. But like halfway through,
I do.
There was a cave in or something. So there are like rocks directly above you. And if you're not careful, yeah, they'll fall and they'll hit you. And that, I, again, that got me like two or three times as well, just trying to figure out when to swim down to avoid all of the debris falling on me.
Yeah, that was the, that was frustrating because I remember like dying a couple of times in there and really thinking like, what am I doing wrong? And I'm still swimming underneath this like lip that you're supposed to hide underneath. And I wasn't swimming fast enough or I wasn't getting all the way under. But at this point, it felt like I didn't have the right solution. And I did. It's just that I wasn't moving the right way to get underneath the falling debris. But I hear you in that, like, these puzzles are like sort of physics based. And because of that, every once in a while, they kind of glitch out and you have to like do them, redo them, or like the solution itself doesn't work quite right. This definitely happened to me when I was trying to use the big mock flying saucer that was above the concert stage. And it wouldn't release and fall down onto the stage. And I couldn't figure out why. And it was just a case of like the character not interacting with the switches in the right way. That was a frustrating part. But again, like it's just the simple physics of the game kind of acting up and not behaving like I wanted them to. So it's just like, you know, kind of like one of the faults that the designers like couldn't get around. But I still had fun kind of like figuring a way through this. I didn't ever have to use a guide, thankfully, but it was just a case of like me not always understanding what it was as I was supposed to do or thinking I had the solution and having the right solution. And then for some reason, because it wasn't working right, I would think, oh, I've got the wrong solution. But I just found a way around it. But anyway, we are able to solidify the alien liquid, and that lets us walk across water at some points and climb up out of the mine. Then we somehow like just barely make it to the refugee camp, and our guy collapses in front of the refugee camp's gate, and then he gets brought into it, and you wake up and you find your wife and kid have made it to the refugee camp too. You get reunited with them. That's a very sweet moment, just because it feels like, oh, like now what's going to happen? Because we've hit our goal, or at least this is what seemed like our goal was for the game. And then I couldn't figure out why, but why in the hell would you leave the camp with your wife and kid? I couldn't figure out why they left. Do you know?
I had the same thought, because this whole sequence, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you're walking through, you see the memorial, the music's playing, you're feeling it, and then you hear your toddler kind of like make a noise, and you get that sweet reunion, and then as soon, maybe 5 seconds later,
yeah,
they walk you to the door, and you guys just go out into the world like it's totally fine. It didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. It's like, are we sure we want to leave right now? Like, this is not a great idea. But you do, and you start walking through the rubble of a town and like all of the what remains of this town. And like you have your wife with you now, and she's carrying the kid, and she also has a flashlight on her. So now that, like, whenever you touch her and trigger something, you can either melt the alien substance around, like, whatever the light is shining on, or you can solidify it, whatever the light's shining on. So that's a really cool, like, puzzle element to add to this game. I think that another thing that kind of evolves in this from Limbo and Inside is that the game gives you abilities to do, to like, try and solve puzzles with, rather than just move stuff around in the area. And like Limbo and Inside have you pulling crates and boxes or like pushing switches to move things. But this game, for the first time, the game has given you something to use as a tool that you carry from room to room. And that adds like another element for you to think about, where like you come upon a puzzle and you have to consider what would happen if I try and melt this material. So, now that you've like gotten your wife and kid too, that adds another element that says that, like, oh, you can use this ability now that you have whenever you want, as long as you're touching your wife. So that's something that kind of adds to the puzzle solving elements of the game. We then have a sequence where aliens start to chase the both of you through the city, and you end up getting assisted by another super soldier. And the first one had blue power to it. The second one had red power. This third super soldier now has purple and is shooting purple blasts out at the aliens. They shelter you while they're like giving you cover and firing at the aliens. All three of you run into this like church and then start to climb a bell tower while the aliens are still chasing you. At the top of the tower, like, what are you going to do but like just wait there for them to come after you? There is some sort of like craft that flies in and tries to rescue everyone at the top of the bell tower. First, the super soldier jumps onto this craft, and then I guess like the dad, your character, gets thrown onto it and goes unconscious. The craft flies away and leaves the wife and kid in the bell tower that is getting overrun by aliens. And seemingly that's the last we see of them. At this time, I'm thinking to myself, what happens to them? Like, you guys just flew off. And obviously, like, they were going to get either swarmed or shot at by another alien craft. But the ship flies off with the dad and takes him to some sort of government facility out in the ocean. They then have him in some sort of chamber or arena and have him test out his ability to melt stuff and also solidify stuff, and then have him and the purple soldier power together this kind of like super cannon that rockets them out of the structure that they're in into one of the alien spacecrafts. And these alien spacecrafts are really cool in design. Externally, like, they are just some sort of giant obelisk that is floating in the sky. And Like they're very minimalistic and at the same time very imposing too. So I thought the design of these were really cool, and like the alien material, it kind of mimics that, so it's really neat. But this at this point, when you get shot into the alien spacecraft, it's where the game kind of takes a weird turn. And I know we said like this game doesn't have those weird surprises or weird turns that their previous games did, even though like this particular sequence is like very much up to interpretation. So what's your interpretation of what happens when you get shot into the spacecraft?
So really quick, the whole sequence, refugee camp to going through the city, you're running from everybody. You're going to the cathedral, and you kind of have your like last stand, basically. You're running up the central tower of this church or whatever, and all of these aliens, they look like robot dogs almost, are kind of chasing you and firing some sort of like stun or something at you. And then all of that hardship on like finding your family and everything, just for them to get left behind. It was so frustrating because you have your wife, you have your kid, but your dog who has been like following you around this whole game also gets left behind. Like your wife falls to her knees and it is just defeated. And I was so angry because I was running onto this ship thinking they're going to follow, we're holding hands, everything is going to be fine, I'll pull them on board with me. And then they get left behind. So it is that whole like chapter or two or three is the strongest part of the game to me, but it's immensely frustrating. And then, you know, the sequence like you were describing on the ship where you're powering it through, and all of that to say, I think the aliens put you in a simulation at this point based on your memories.
Yeah, because you wake up in the basement of the house all over again.
Yes, and you wake up and it's like nothing ever happened. You were just having a really weird dream. But if you go, let me see, you go and like try to feed the dog again, you're interrupted just like at the start of the game, but this time it's by fireworks. So you go outside and you have this like fireworks and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting because the game kind of zooms in on these fireworks exploding and it looks like they're hitting something. Like it looks like the memory has been altered so that it's no longer like jets or something hitting this obelisk. It's fireworks exploding in the air. Did you notice that? Maybe I was just seeing things.
Yeah. It almost felt like they, like these aliens were trying to mimic, like trying to mask what was really going on with fireworks. And it's kind of like when you're working in Photoshop and you try and replace something and you're able to like paint over whatever it is you're trying to cover up, but you don't always do it perfectly. And so like, you know, something might be just a little bit off. And that's kind of what I felt like was going on here, where the fireworks are there to mask what it really was, what his memory of it really was. And it's just a little bit off.
Yeah, there's like a little like glitch in the matrix. And then you go back inside, the image changes. You're not with your family with fireworks anymore. You're outside by yourself. And you go inside, mm-hmm. and the memory or the aliens or whatever it is slams the basement door so that you can't go down there where you originally encountered the blue soldier and first got the powers. And that ability is kind of that's like the way out of the memory. You know, you kind of dissolve the wall and walk away from the camera to this like pool of goo with another simulation kind of station, I guess, in front of you. from there, the aliens really don't want you messing with other people's simulations, and they throw you into another. I think they throw you back to the mine at this point. So you have another interaction with the red soldier.
And as you go, like every time you break out of the simulation, you end up going to someone else's pod and freeing them. And so you start to like break other people out of this. And we go through this sequence a handful of times, and I keep wondering to myself, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing by freeing these people, or is there something else that I should be doing with each of these stations? But it does progress things a little bit. There is at one point you're able to, like, you find what you think is your wife and kid on a bench, and you can just sit down and be with them there. This is where one of the first endings that's available comes up, but you can just sit down at the bench and stay there. And if you wait long enough, the screen will slowly, very slowly fade to black. And that is like one of the endings that you get. The credits start to roll. And then after the credits roll, there is just a picture of the man sitting inside what looks like the alien ship, dead. And so he has just kind of resigned himself to be with the simulation of his wife and kid. And I guess like that is what the aliens want at this point, is for you to just succumb to whatever they're offering. But, you know, you get that offered to you a couple of times in the game as far as the endings go. And after you've freed a few people, you get brought to this chamber where there are three large, like very towering obelisks in front of your character, and you end up like holding hands with a few of the people that you freed, and together they all sort of create this conduit of energy for you to pulse from them up to the obelisk. And you can pulse the red or blue energy that you've adapted from those super soldiers. And now that you've freed a few people, you've also adapted the purple energy that third guy had as well. You use these three energies to sort of communicate with the obelisks that are in front of you. And at first I thought it was just like, oh, you mimic back to them what they're saying, and that will sort of solve this puzzle. That, of course, gets you just the second option for resignation of, they offer up a simulation of your guy's house. And you can just walk forward to the house and that's it. I didn't realize that like you could keep doing this. I thought you just had to keep doing like mimicking what they were doing for them to like offer you something else. And then finally I just decided, oh wait, I can just walk forward. This is the way to progress the game. But no, that just gives you another version of the bad ending. Were you confused about like how these endings worked, or that like even this was the actual, like this was like an ending that you were going for the first time?
So I knew that there were multiple endings and two different versions, I guess, of the resignation in like the bad ending. But when I got to these obelisks, I did the like the Simon Says for a little bit. And then I thought, like, okay, there are only three different colors. There are only so many combinations. Let me just see if I can get something different. And I probably, the first time through, I probably played this, like, you know, game of telephone, basically. Just back and forth, trying to communicate with them. Until, it's funny, the three of them will kind of look at each other. Like, do you know what he's trying to say? Like, what did he say? Kind of thing. And they'll just throw your house back up and say, like, how about you just stop talking to us and just go in here and, you know, live in this simulation or whatever. And eventually that's what I did. So I like tried all of these different things. I couldn't get anything else to happen. So I said, okay, this is going to be one of the endings. Let me just go in and see what happens. And then I'll, just see the other solutions. I'll look up a guide to the other solutions, unfortunately. and I went from there.
Yeah.
But yeah. This was, I mentioned earlier that they, like, these games try to reward you for paying attention and for taking note, well, maybe not taking notes, but just looking around and finding things, like, the hidden secrets throughout the game. And this is where the game turns into Arrival, if you've seen that movie, where you're trying to, like, write and figure out the alien language to communicate with them. The obelisks that you're running around in even look kind of similar to the ones from the movie. And I just, I did the other endings, which we can jump into, but actually deciphering the alien language was pretty difficult. The game gives you, like, some hints and stuff, and maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but the game does give you a couple of hints. But even replaying the game and looking at certain encounters multiple times over, I have the signals for hello and the signals for what I think is go away.
Huh.
And that's it. It's not super intuitive, in my opinion, what it is we're trying to say.
And I'm guessing those signals, you interpret those based on, like, when you find one of those small alien orbs rolling around, they pulse out whatever their signal is, and then they do the action that might mean. Is that it?
Yeah, so the little robot balls of light, or whatever you want to say, are the collectibles in this game, and you can find them doing different things. And when you help them or, like, free them from, like, one of them is locked in a trunk, there's a group of them locked in a porta potty back in the festival grounds.
Yeah.
So, like, once you find them, they'll kind of signal, you know, like, thank you or whatever it is, and then go about their business. The go away, there is actually, it might be the second batch. I took notes for, there are 10 of these encounters that you can run into. And I took notes of, like, what they signal back at you. So, like, one of the early ones, it's in the forest, and you can kind of walk into the background under a log. And if you're quiet and you don't just walk straight to them, you can see there's kind of a leader on a rock, and then, like, four of the robot ball guys kind of watching him. And they're playing, like, he's telling them to do something. The one on the rock is flashing, and then they do it. So the guy on the rock flashes, like, blue, purple, purple. And everybody on the ground just gathers together and then kind of rolls away behind a tree. And then they come back. So they're, like, following whatever his order is. But that blue, purple, purple is the last thing that you signal in the best ending. So I think it is something like go away or goodbye or whatever. But even with trying to, like, take all of these notes on the encounters, you mentioned earlier that at the end of the forest, you kind of go through a cave. There's, like, a child in the cave that is afraid of you for some reason, and they try to run away, and I guess they eventually get, like, sucked up by one of the alien beams. But if you look at their cave, they have a bunch of drawings of some, like, alien UFOs and then some, like, purple squares or whatever. And I think you run into this same kid in one of the simulations as you're, like, freeing people.
Ah, okay.
And my last time through the game, I was observing this person. Instead of just directly, like, freeing them, I just opened up the window so I could see what they were doing and just stood there for a bit. And somehow this kid manages to, like, tweak their flashlight to signal different things. And she signals the blue, blue, blue that you use. I guess we'll get into some of the endings maybe, but there's another ending where your family is locked in a simulation and you can free them, but you die in the process. And that ending has the sequence, you know, blue, 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 that you signal to the aliens. The kid does the same thing in her simulation. And then a couple of other sequences. So you like the final, like the real ending or the good ending or whatever you want to say, the kid actually with the flashlight in her simulation flashes almost all of the replies that you need to send back to the aliens.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So she almost cracked the code. Not completely. There are a few inconsistencies that I found between them, but like she was really close to cracking the code, which I think is really interesting. And you just have to kind of like watch her. So between her and that one encounter in the woods kind of early on in the game, you can kind of piece together what they were trying to do. But unless I missed a signal or something, there's what you need to signal to get to the best ending doesn't actually appear in the game. Like maybe I missed it, but I don't know how you get, because it's so complex, I don't know how you get to it without looking it up, which is where I think they didn't quite stick the landing.
Yeah, I think that having to require everyone to get the, like all the collectibles will get you the good ending. That I understand what they were going for there, but then to lock it behind having to learn this language on top of that adds this barrier to it that is just too hard to get around. And for it to be based on some kind of collectible that you can't really review, like you can't go back and look at what these things were pulsing out in like your files or anything. You have to just pay attention at the time and know that that's what you're supposed to be looking for. So I feel like they kind of missed the mark in that regard where, like, you know, there are collectibles, but even then, like finding them is not going to be the only part of that solution. I think that it would have been good to just have some way to reference what it was you found and be able to piece that together, more like overtly, I guess. So there's that kind of element that I feel like kind of holds the game back from feeling much more, I guess, like epic or like profound, because you're like, it's not easy to solve that puzzle on your own if you know that you don't know that you're looking at a puzzle. You know, going back to blueprints, like, you know, it's hard to understand that what you're looking at is a puzzle if you don't know that there is one to solve there. You know, you're not going to know to analyze the two drawings that are on the wall if you don't know that you're supposed to be looking for something between those two. At the time, they're just like scenery, so who cares? But with this, I think it would have been better to have like some sort of reference in like the pause menu or something to show that, like, oh, here are the ones you found and here's what their flash was. And then you could kind of piece it together that way. Because I think that like just finding them one after the other and not really realizing that they are important until like halfway through the game, like I did, I'm thinking to myself, well, hopefully that will piece itself together when I get to the end. And it really doesn't. It just sort of, it's there for you to understand. And thankfully people on the internet have figured it out. So I ended up looking up the solution to get some of the other endings, which like one of the other endings is just the War of the Worlds ending where you just destroy the aliens and sacrifice your character's own life to kill them all. And I thought the way you solve this was very funny, where you just overload it with the purple pulse and that's it. And then like it blows them up.
Yeah, it is the We've talked a little bit about the power. Like the blue lets you dissolve things. The red is like a hardened kind of thing. And then the purple seems like it's kind of the key to everything. So you, like when you're in the secret base out at sea and you have to power up the cannon that launches you, you do that by first dissolving a bunch of these orbs and then hardening them into one structure. And then you use the purple ability to, I guess, activate that power or something. And you do this over and over and over again before it actually launches you. The purple is also what kind of powers the simulations, I think.
Oh, yeah, because they're all purple.
Yeah, so you, when you're freeing the kids, you like dissolve the background until this kind of purple beacon comes out, and then you hit the purple ability. But when you're leaving your own memories or simulations or whatever, you can also see the purple ability kind of sticking, or the purple beacon, I guess, sticking out of the wall, but you don't have the ability yet to interact with it. And then the other thing is, you know, you go through your memory of finding the blue power, you go through your memory of finding the red power, but when you get to the final kind of simulation, it's not your own, which is interesting. I think it belongs to the purple soldier, and the purple soldier directly kind of walks out to you and reaches out to pass the power on. It's different from the first two. So whatever these abilities are, I do think they come from the aliens themselves, but the purple ability is something like it's its own power source, I think.
So we've talked about
and the War of the Worlds, you can just over.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say that that's, you use the purple ability to just overload everything and basically destroy everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the dog is the only one who survives in that ending.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, you know, there's the, like the blue energy or the blue power is to melt everything. The red power is to solidify it. And then like that purple power is just energy. It is, you know, you are powering something. So that way you destroy everyone is you just overload the obelisks with power, and that destroys all the aliens. Those are like all of the not like the bad endings. Like there are bad endings there. There are also just like endings that are not good or bad. They are just like less than ideal solutions. But the good ending is the understanding ending. And that's if you like know the language, like you had said, if you've deciphered everything, or if you just look this up online and enter the very long sequence to get the right ending. It is like you send out maybe like 20 of these pulses of like red, blue, or green. And then that brings up the option for the aliens to then just leave. And they free your wife and kid from the cell that they're in. And then they end up just leaving. And they leave you, the character, and your family on the front yard of where your house is. And then like the invasion ends and they all just like go up into the sky and that's the end. So like, again, I don't think it is great to lock this like true ending away behind not just getting all the collectibles, but also having to then decipher them. But you don't really have any way to review everything you've collected. So it is kind of a barrier that doesn't need to be there. I still think that like it is a cool ending to just like be able to understand the aliens and communicate with them effectively to tell them to just leave. And as you said, like you've deciphered some of it. So good job, but I couldn't do it. I just had to look it up.
Yeah, no, I definitely looked it up. And even like we talked offline about, I was going to try and encounter the orbs again and kind of write down their signals. And like you mentioned, they only signal to you once. You can kind of interact with them after that, but their first signal as soon as you save them or encounter them doesn't come back, which is kind of annoying. But the understanding ending is almost like the aliens broke into your backyard looking for something, tore up your grass, and then when you said, "Hey, what are you doing?" they kind of just apologize and leave. It was like, "Oh, we're sorry, we tore up your grass, broke in. We were just looking for something. Our bad." Yeah. And they just go away.
"We're sorry we killed all these people. We're really sorry. We're just gonna go."
Yeah, it's like, "Oh, we just lost our like special super soldier guys, and you know, our bad. You can speak our language, so we'll just leave you alone." So, but no, I was going to say it gets to kind of what is maybe happening here, or like why they show up. I don't know if you want to like dive into but my overall, well, so usually when a game has multiple endings, I think our instinct is to suss out the main one or the correct one, the canon ending. And I don't know why, but for this game, I took a different approach of what circumstance would set it up to where all five endings could actually happen, if that makes sense. So, you know, you talked about there are two different endings where we kind of just give up, accept our fate. One of them, we might be with our family, we might not. And the other, we're just alone, lost in the simulation. And then the other endings are just, you know, not helpful. And then the understanding, it is odd that you would invade a planet, they learn your language, and then you just leave. Which makes me think that the aliens aren't actually concerned about us at all. They don't care about humans or the, you know, humanity or whatever. I think, and we see this kind of late in the game, there's like a flashback to, you see the red, blue, and purple powers kind of falling to Earth, into the ocean, where I guess the military or something finds them and picks them up. I think the primary like force are just looking for those powers again. They're just looking for what they've lost, and we just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, kind of like how in Halo, the Covenant invades Earth looking for one of the artifacts. They didn't think that Earth was going to be like the hub for all human activity.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Where it's kind of just like, "Oh, there were people here. Oops." And, you know, they put us all in simulations based on our memories, which is definitely a more comfortable solution than what they might do.
Yeah.
We see, like, back at the festival, a woman starts her car and tries to drive away, and they stop her and then kind of lift her up. Right. Mm-hmm. But they could have sent anything down, like even the robot dogs that we mentioned, they stun you. Like, they don't actually, you don't get like lasered or anything. It's not like an inside where they attack you and you just watch your character get ripped apart, basically, or anything like that.
Yeah.
Everything is set to stun and subdue rather than annihilate. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just looking to get those powers back. And even in the ending where you free your family, but you die, the way you free your family is by using your different abilities on the simulation that they're stuck in, and that you overexert yourself and it kills you, but you lose those abilities. So it's kind of, to me, the aliens are just saying, hey, you have something that belongs to us, give that back, and your family will be safe.
Very interesting take, because I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just interesting, I think, that, and I could definitely be wrong, but it is, you know, what reality could we be living in to where, like, all of the endings would make sense based on the aliens' motivation? So I think they just want to make sure that their powers don't fall into the wrong hands or whatever. And they're just searching, and that's why they show up and destroy everything for a bit.
That's a really cool interpretation. I didn't pick up on any of that during the game. Thank you for explaining a lot more than I was thinking about. So cool explanation. And that makes me want to ask you, that I ask everybody, who do you think should play Somerville? Who would you recommend it to?
I would, because I think we've spent some of this saying that Somerville's not as good as Limbo and Inside, but I did still enjoy my time with it. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that if you're someone who played Limbo and Inside and just thought that those games were maybe a bit too tough, Somerville would be a great game, because it's very similar feeling, but like we mentioned earlier, there's very little that is actually out to get you in this game. And it's a much more chill experience. I think if you just have like a sick day, but you're not too sick to play video games, this is a really good like couple of hour experience to kind of just sit through. And it's maybe a step or two above like a visual novel. Like, it really doesn't ask much of you.
No, it does ask you to, like, you know, understand the physics of the area and, you know, pay attention to the environment. Like, you know, you have to find the alien structure and a light source to then shine on it. But like, most of these puzzles are simple enough for you to not get too stuck on them.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, then like, I also wanted to cover the other games from these developers. Like, we have talked enough about how much we loved Limbo and Inside, both of us, so I recommend checking out those games as well if you liked Somerville. Also, I haven't played Cocoon, but that is another game from Playdead that they made after Limbo and Inside, and after they split, and we saw Dino Patty go co-found Jumpship, Playdead then went and made Cocoon, and I haven't tried that one yet, but it's on my list to try out. So I heard it was very highly regarded, very highly rated, and it won a couple of awards at the year it came out. So I really want to try that one. I think that came out last year, but that may have been 2023. So, it's now a 2026, so it 2 years ago, in 2024. But that one seemed a little bit more chill as well. Like, it wasn't all about, like, you know, running away from stuff. It was about solving interesting environmental puzzles. So, check out Cocoon if you like kind of the puzzle-solving aspect of Somerville. Have you tried Cocoon?
Not yet. I think it recently came to the service, though, so it is in my library.
Yeah,
it's the one that I didn't get to.
Yeah, it's on my list to play. Let's see, are there other games that you can think of that provide really good mysteries or multi-layered stories like the games from Playdead and Jumpship?
Well, I mean, there's a little gem that maybe no one's heard of called Blueprints that has lots of mysteries in it. But No, I'm just kidding. I'll say I do want to call back. I haven't played Lone Sails, but I do think the Far games are, there's kind of like a management aspect to those, but they are a similar kind of puzzle mystery type of games.
Yeah.
If anyone is interested in maybe a little more danger with a kind of spooky undertones, the Little Nightmares games.
Hell yeah.
I've only played the first two. I haven't played the third one yet, but those are similar kind of puzzle platformers, which are really good. And then if you're on the other side where you're leaning, you're wanting more like puzzle rather than story necessarily, or kind of like the platforming side, the Talos Principle.
Oh, okay.
That is a puzzle heavy game, but there is kind of like a mystery story of like what exactly is going on underneath, which might appeal to people who like Somerville. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see, other ones that I could like, Little Nightmares is a great shout out. I love that one. And then later, I think it is coming out in February, is from the creators of Little Nightmares is Reanimal. And that looks very much like the same kind of play style where you are trying to solve a puzzle to get past an obstacle. And, you know, it has that sort of side scrolling element to it, but it is also still in 3D. So it's like 2.5D. And there's a lot of horror elements involved in there. So it feels very much like Limbo and Inside and Little Nightmares. It kind of seems like Somerville was much more of a chill time. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit more spooky in a sense, check out Reanimal. That's coming out soon. I'm really excited for that one though. As I was putting this together, I was thinking about what are some of your favorite movies that have an alien invasion in it?
Yeah, so I thought of Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's basically a roguelike that they made into a movie in a sense. So I enjoyed that one.
It's Groundhog. Yeah, Groundhog Day with an alien invasion.
Exactly. It's really good. But yeah, that and A Quiet Place. I enjoyed that one too.
I feel like also there are, like, this game kind of reminded me of Annihilation, where there's some sort of alien entity and the government doesn't know what to do about it. And they are just trying to understand it and possibly prevent disaster from happening. So I highly recommend checking that out if you're curious about interpretive stories and the movie or the story itself not being so overt in telling you everything that's happening. You kind of have to sort of interpret it for yourself. But have you seen Annihilation?
No, not yet. But I'm going to make a note to look it up.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird and pretty cool movie. But yeah, that's what I could think of. At least that's what came to the top of my mind after War of the Worlds, of course, the Steven Spielberg one. The only other recommendation I have is for next month's game. And next month we are going to be talking about Thank Goodness You're Here. This one just hit PlayStation Plus Extra a couple of months ago. And we're going to be doing just another pretty short game for Game Club in February. So hope you're looking forward to that. Have you tried out Thank Goodness You're Here?
No, we actually talked a little bit about it last month when I was on the Moogle cast, and I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will be playing along.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
So excited to jump in.
Is there any other games that you're playing right now that you'd like to recommend?
Well, it is a completely different genre, but I recently finished Lies of P.
Oh.
And it's DLC, and it is really, really good. It is very inspired by Bloodborne, for sure, the aesthetic and a lot of the mechanics. It's like Bloodborne meets Sekiro with some of the longer, more methodical encounters found in like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And all of it with kind of the coding of you are Pinocchio and you're playing through an adaptation. Yeah. Of Carlo Collodi's original work. So it's not Disney-fied, yeah. And all of that is, you know, going back to the source material, and the mm-hmm. world itself is a really, really just outstanding story.
Okay, yeah. That one's been on my list to check out too. It's been given away on PlayStation Plus Essential, so like it's part of my library now, so I'm going to get to it at some point. But yeah, I was always kind of fascinated by that one, especially because I usually play like one Souls game about once a year on average, and I got really into Dark Souls 3 I think last year, and then just burned out on it. I didn't even finish it. So I hear that this one's got some difficulty settings that you can choose, which feels very nice after having such a hard game of Dark Souls 3. But I should try that one out. I'm really excited for that. And when I tried the demo, I thought it was really cool. So I'll give that a shot soon. But yeah, Brady, thank you so much for being here, for talking about Somerville for a bit. I hope you've enjoyed it. And if people want to get in contact with you on Discord, how do they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Discord or PlayStation at Overrated Fate with an underscore in between.
Okay.
And thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. I'm a huge fan of the show, and just the whole concept I think is really cool. So it was great being a part of an episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, thank you for playing along, and especially props to you, man, for platinuming Blueprints. I haven't even done that. I don't think I ever will, but I was so fascinated by that game. And I appreciated you checking in with me every once in a while to see like, you know, where I was, what did I uncover? Like, so
yeah,
it was really cool. How you described what you were doing on the Moogle cast was fascinating. So, if anyone listening is curious about Fate Prime's like own experience with Blueprints, go listen to the Moogle cast for a deep dive on everything that you found in that game. It's fascinating what you did and then how different it is from what I did and what Jordan did. So, you know, go listen. It's really cool. And, also I really hope you enjoyed this episode of the PlayStation Plus Game Club. I hope you are looking forward to next month where we talk about Thank Goodness You're Here. I have heard very good things about that. I hear it's really funny, and, I can't wait to dive into that. So, hope you have a good time, and until then, I hope you have a good day, and please remember to be excellent to each other.